So take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to have you stand again as we read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 this morning, and then we'll have a short word of prayer, and then I promise I'll let you be seated. All right? Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Judge not, lest that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for your goodness to us and for your mercy and for your grace. We ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word this morning. Open our hearts, Lord, that as the Holy Spirit just uses me this morning and speaks through the scriptures and speaks through the message and brings conviction to our hearts, that you would challenge us, that you would draw each of us closer to you. And perhaps if by chance there is someone here this morning that has never received Christ as their Savior, we pray that you'd bring that conviction and convince them of their need to be born again. We pray for those that are watching on the live stream this morning. We pray the same for them. We pray that you would draw them closer to you. And if there are those that are watching that have never received Christ, we pray for the salvation of their soul. Lord, I in and of myself can do nothing. I need your help. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your utterance this morning as I preach. So please use me as your vessel, despite my own faults and my own failures, my own weaknesses in my life. Please use me for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I have 3 points to the message this morning. And I want to, as I read through this text, you know, Pastor Ethan's really been doing most of the preaching on Sunday morning, preaching through chapter 5, chapter 6, and now here we are in chapter 7. Preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. But I was reading through this earlier in the week, and as is often the case, you know, before I open up any commentaries, before I do any extra reading, I just want to spend time reading whatever portion of Scripture I'm going to preach on is, and then I just want to enter a time of prayer with the Lord, and I'm really asking and praying, Lord, give me an outline to preach. Show me these truths. Speak to my heart about what you have for us here out of this text. So I'm going to give you my 3 points this morning, and they're just simple points. As I read through this, the Lord reminded me, and I'm hoping that the Lord reminds us of our representation, reminding us of who we represent. Then the second point is going to be, the Lord reminded me of our responsibility. He reminded me of my responsibility. And then lastly, the third point, is the Lord reminded me of just how unrighteous we are. How unrighteous we are and how righteous He is. So those are the 3 points to the message this morning. Now, as we begin the text, you noticed here in the text, in Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not that ye be not judged." We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to first go to the last verse that I read, verse 12. Let's read this verse out loud with me, won't you? Chapter 7, verse 12. Let's begin. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them, For this is the law and the prophets. You know, whenever you're reading the Bible and you see the word therefore or the word wherefore, it's really referring you back to the scriptures that came just before that. In other words, so this scripture is saying, because of what Jesus has just said, therefore, because of that, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And that's what reminded me or brought to my attention, the Holy Spirit brought to my attention these three points. So I said first, I'm reminded of our representation. And Jesus brings these first five verses here, and he talks about judging people. But I was first reminded of this scripture as I was putting this message together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, another verse that begins with therefore, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and Paul says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, as Pastor Ethan said, the likelihood is this morning as we look out at all of you that are sitting in this congregation, to the best of our knowledge, and only the Lord knows really, but to the best of our knowledge, all of you that are here today have made a profession of faith in Christ. And praise the Lord. That's a great thing. Amen? But the reality is there's a whole world around us of people at work, in our neighborhood, when we go shopping. They're all around us. They've never heard. They're not saved. They're not born again. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. And you know what? This isn't really part of my message this morning. It wasn't what I planned to preach on. But the reality is, it can get pretty comfortable like this. You know, the building is filling up with people. And, you know, if we had our bus going, we'd have some more people here as well. And we'd have a pretty full building here this morning. But the problem is, Jesus didn't just call Christians to come and worship. He told us to go out into the highways and into the hedges and to compel them to come in. And if we're not doing that, we can just get so comfortable here and so relaxed. And COVID, a few weeks ago, Ethan preached on hell. He challenged you as a church. How many of you will share that message? And I don't know how many did or how many didn't, but the remarks he was making politically, people will share political comments all day long. How many were willing to share a message to friends and family members that are lost and are on their way to hell? It won't do them any good whoever gets elected if they die and go to hell. Their candidate could win, but they're going to go to hell. I just had to say that. Because I am burdened. This church has always reached out in the community. It breaks my heart that we can't run a bus. It breaks my heart that we can't go into the different sections of the town and invite children to come and hear the gospel. It breaks my heart. I'm so thankful for the next generation. This TikTok and Instagram, I don't like it. I'm not interested in it. I don't really do it. But I'm seeing how we can reach people. We can reach people. The whole media stuff, and I'm not that kind of a person. I'm kind of just like old-fashioned. Give me a book and a piece of paper and computers. Even the basic computers are a bit much for me. My kids, they say, hey, could you help me how to do this? They say, Dad, we showed you how to do this a year ago. Yeah, it was a year ago. But I'm thankful for the future of our church and the next generation and all of these things that are happening. They're all can be, listen, they can either be the tools of Satan or they can be the tools of the Savior. Amen? So we have to look at it that way. But our representation, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then if we were to turn there, you don't need to, but Paul goes on and he reminds us how we have been reconciled to Christ. And we're called to the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to Jesus Christ. But then Paul finishes with this, now then, because of this, he says, because we're born again, because we have new life, because we are to have the ministry of reconciliation, now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are. And that's what I thought of as I read this, that who do we represent? So Jesus, in these first five verses, look at it again. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. By the way, this particular verse is probably one of the most misunderstood and misquoted passages in the Scriptures. I remember some years ago I was preaching, and we had some visitors, and I was preaching on a particular topic. I went out at the end of the service. I was standing out on the sidewalk, and they kind of ridiculed me. They said, you know, the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. Well, let's understand this. Just a casual understanding of the Scriptures teaches us that there are times when God instructs His people to make judgments. This isn't a blanket comment that Jesus made to never make judgments. In fact, when we get down to verse 6, He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. In order to fulfill that Scripture, you have to make a judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the entire chapter is about making judgments, even to the point where the church may have to make a judgment to expel someone from the fellowship of the body of Christ. So it's not that Jesus is saying we never make judgments, but it is an important point, obviously, that He's making here. He's dealing with this. He's dealing with, and He's telling us, listen, be careful as believers that we don't make rash, unjust, unloving judgments about people. Judging their motives and their intentions, when only God knows what their motives and their intentions are. That's the essence behind the verse. The heart is really the Lord's. And it's really a warning here to us as believers that your own character and your own actions, he'll go on to say, could be subject to the same pronouncements of severity of someone judging you. So look at it again now with that in mind. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, don't forget, whatever judgments you're making about people, you had better be prepared to allow them to make the same judgments about you. Now, culturally, there's two subpoints to this first point, culturally and spiritually. Culturally, Jesus is dealing with a culture where the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. The Pharisees judged other people to make themselves look good. You and I can be in danger of that as well. As we read on, that's the point Jesus is making. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye. Behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees were judging people and making judgments so that they would look good. But the essence of the passage is this, that Christians should judge themselves to make others look good. Before you're ready to cast judgment on people, how they look, how they dress, first of all, just judge yourself. Be careful. Don't become like a Pharisee. Don't become like, listen to this, you don't need to turn there, but in Luke chapter number, if you want to, you can. I'm going to turn back to Matthew, but in Luke chapter 18, there's a great example of this. In Luke chapter 18, listen to what the Bible says. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, the Scriptures say this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, he would not even lift so much his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, why was that? Because the man who said, huh, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. Listen, you and I aren't to compare ourselves to other men. If we're going to compare ourselves to a man, compare yourselves to Jesus. And that'll take care of a lot of hypocrisy in our lives. And we're reminded that this is who we represent. We represent Jesus. We represent the one who went to some of the worst in the culture in that day. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save, he said. I come not to be ministered to, but to minister. And so from a cultural point of view, the religious leaders, they were big time judgers. And Jesus warns us of that. Spiritually, listen to what Paul says when he writes to the church in Galatia, to the churches of Galatia. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, people get overtaken sometimes. Let's be careful. I heard this many, many years ago. I'm pretty sure I heard it from Ravi Zacharias. Pretty sure it probably wasn't original with him, but he said something along these lines. Christians are really good at shooting their wounded. Who do we represent? First and foremost, we represent Jesus Christ. Let's remember that our purpose here, our primary purpose here, is not to get the next president of the United States elected. It's to get people saved and on their way to heaven. Now, do I believe Christians should be politically motivated and politically active? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I believe Christians should vote? Absolutely. But my primary purpose in life is to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's who we represent. And that's the idea. Jesus said, listen, be careful as you're dealing with people. Thou hypocrite, verse 5, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt clearly see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then look at verse 6, brings me to my second point. We're not only reminded of our representation, we're reminded of our responsibility. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So as I was reading this, not only did I think about who I represent, but I thought about my responsibility. And Jesus reminds us here of our responsibility. Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what you and I are supposed to be. We are supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're supposed to represent righteousness. We're supposed to represent holiness. We're supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. The truth of God's Word, we're supposed to represent that in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we are. I love the verse in 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes there, and he says, and as we were allowed of the gospel, now listen, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God with trieth our hearts. God has placed the gospel in our trust. Every generation, the gospel has been placed in their trust. The man who built this building, who financed this building, and gave this land over 100 years ago, we still have the original handwritten deed that says whoever uses the building can use it forever as long as they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we took this building many, many years ago, it was falling down and dilapidated. Holes in the roof, all the windows were broken. Kids got in here, the raccoons were living in here. And now for over 30 years, we've been preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. People have been getting saved. Whether little boys or little girls that ride the bus or moms and dads and people that we've invited to church or people who were religious their whole lives and all of a sudden came to realize that you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that was our representation, but that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to evangelize. In order to do that, two subpoints to this as well. We need to, one, handle the truth carefully. And that's what Jesus is saying here when he says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine." We need to handle the truth carefully. This book, listen, people have been imprisoned for owning this book. People have been put to death for owning this book. People are ridiculed. People are mocked. People are laughed at. Look at the video we saw. Out of, what did he say? Thousands and thousands of comments. A 1 minute, whatever you call it on TikTok, a 1 minute TikTok. And just by naming the name of Jesus, and he's ridiculed. Well, that's the world we live in. We should expect that. But then he comes and he tells us near the end, numbers of people have said they've professed Christ. Any ministry that's proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, there's going to be pushback. Any individual that's living for Jesus Christ, there's going to be pushback. The enemy's not happy with that. You know what the enemy would really love right now? That we just become comfortable with who we are and what we have. You know, it's incredible, but since COVID, our missions is up. Our morning, with the exception of last Sunday, our morning giving is up. And Satan would just be happy if we just continue just like we are. Because the reality is, he can't do anything about our salvation. Once saved, always saved, if you're truly saved. Amen? But what about the person who should be sitting here that's lost and needs to hear the gospel? What about the person that should be sitting in that seat back there who's lost and should hear the gospel? We have a responsibility, and we need to handle the truth carefully. There will always be those that oppose the truth of God's word. The dogs and the swine. There'll always be those that ignore the truth. And by the way, and it's not that we shouldn't present the gospel to them. I think we should present the gospel to everyone. But sometimes people, after they've been presented the gospel, they can become obstinate, blaspheme the word of God, persecute the church of God. Jesus said, listen, you handle the word of God carefully. Carefully. In fact, there's an example of this in the Bible if you want to see it. Okay, good. I'm glad you do. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Look what it says here. Acts chapter 13. You're turning. I was listening to those little kids singing downstairs. I have decided to follow Jesus. Man alive, I tell you what. Acts chapter 13, look at beginning in verse 44. Look what happens here. Here's Paul, he's preaching in Antioch. And look what happens. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. Wow, that must have been quite something, huh? And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, well, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Well, what a wonderful thing. They're preaching the word of God, but they're the Jews that were there, that they were envious. And basically, you can go back to Matthew, basically Paul says, listen, if you don't want to hear it, we presented it to you. If you're going to reject it, then so be it. So be it. We need to handle the word of God truthfully. We need to, and by the way, we need to handle the truth prayerfully. We need to handle it prayerfully. So, here in verse 6, Jesus talks about the dogs, and he talks about casting your pearl before swine. It reminds me of someone I would witness to in town, And I would witness to them fairly regularly for years. And really, then I kind of slowed down on it a little bit. And then I would see them, and then they would just ask different questions. And it came to my attention, really, I think the Lord spoke to my heart, and it was this person is really not interested in the gospel. They're just interested in arguing with me. And so, you know, each of us has to be led of the Holy Spirit. How long and how much do we present the gospel to someone? But that's between you and the Lord. But there will always be those that oppose, always be those that ignore. Always be those who blaspheme. Always be those who attack. But then Jesus kind of, it seems like he switches gears here, because all of a sudden in verses 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, he begins to talk about prayer. Well, listen, remember where we started. He's talking about making judgments. He's talking about not being hypocritical. He's talking about handling the Word of God carefully. But now we're reminded that we better handle all things prayerfully. Prayerfully. Handle them prayerfully. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them. Listen, as we go around sharing the gospel with people and telling people about Jesus and praying for people and how we deal with them and how we approach them, and we need to do it prayerfully. Listen, if you saw me when I got saved, you would have looked at me and said, that guy's never going to get saved. You know, it was the whole time. My life was a mess. It was an absolute mess. I'm not sure what my wife saw in me. Except I think her life wasn't much better than mine. It was a mess. But you know who it wasn't a mess to? It wasn't a mess to Jesus. Jesus, it wasn't a mess to him. He loved me. He cared for me. You've heard my testimony. I heard the gospel my whole life from the time I was a little boy, and I was 24 years old before I got saved. My wife hears it once and she gets saved, so you tell me who's smarter. Amen? We need to handle our friends prayerfully. We need to handle social media prayerfully. You know, the likelihood is if you have lost friends, they may be very liberal in some of their thinking. So you start posting a lot of these ultra-conservative things, they don't want to even hear what you have to say about Jesus. Most of the time, let's be honest, you're just posting some political ad because you want somebody to pat you on the back and like it. Well, that's kind of harsh, preacher. It was meant to be harsh. How much time do we spend praying compared to how much time we spend on social media? It's kind of harsh, preacher. It was meant to be harsh. How much time do we spend as we study the truth of God's Word versus scanning this post and this post and this post and this post and this post? Am I saying you should never? No, I'm not saying that. I'm on Facebook. Really, quite frankly, most of the stuff I like to look at is pictures of kids and family outings and what you're growing in your garden. Like, Ethan, I get sick of all the political stuff. Listen, you're not impressing too many people with your politics. Didn't really plan to go in this direction either, but it's his fault. He got me started. Handle the truth prayerfully. Are we seeking the mind of God in the matter? Jesus is asking, it should be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Are we seeking the will of God in the matter? Are we seeking the mind of God in the matter? Are we seeking the way of God in the matter? That's what prayer's about. That's what helps us to be mindful of our responsibility. And Jesus gives this whole lesson on prayer. We've just finished a whole 3-month series on Wednesday nights on prayer, where we did talk about this scripture, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, and the time is getting late. But Jesus desires to give the wisdom and the guidance and the utterance and the knowledge that you and I need to reach people for Christ. But then lastly, I was reminded of my unrighteousness. Look at the last verse of the text. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, what do we generally call this verse here? We really call it the golden rule. It's do unto others as others would do unto you. That's what the text is really saying here. But it's really interesting. There's people that you'll meet that may not literally say this, but they'll infer it. They'll say something like, the golden rule is good enough for me. It's all the religion that I need. Just for me to do unto others as I would have others do unto me. If I live by that, I'll be all right. There's people who believe that. There's many people who believe that. The problem is the golden rule is not the gospel. The golden rule is the fruit of the gospel. And just like Pastor Ethan has mentioned, as we've gone through the Beatitudes and all of the different commands and all of the different principles and all of the different instruction here, no one gets to heaven by keeping the Beatitudes. And no one gets to heaven by keeping the golden rule. But what is interesting here is this. Look at it again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What's Jesus saying here? Well, a couple of words just jumped right out at me here. In fact, two words at the very beginning. The word all things. Here's the problem for the person who says that they're keeping the golden rule. You can't keep the golden rule in all things. No one has kept the golden rule in all things. You understand what I'm saying? The only person who ever walked on the planet who could keep the entire golden rule, if I can just use that term, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. It is a reminder of that. Because he finishes up the verse when he says, this is the law and the prophets. What he's saying is, this is the sum of the entire Old Testament. It's the summary expression of all that the law and the prophets require to be holy before God. Well, the problem is none of us can keep all the laws of the Old Testament. None of us can always and in all things keep the golden rule. For all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So is it a good thing to keep the golden rule to do unto others as they would, you would have others do unto you? Absolutely. But it's not the gospel. So consequently, the golden rule actually adds to our condemnation. It proves to us that we need a Savior. Ephesians 3, 8 and 9, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. The golden rule, it's the fruit of the gospel. There are many people living their lives hoping that because they're kind and compassionate, and praise the Lord for kind and compassionate people, benevolent people, generous people. That we were reminded in the text here, in chapter 5 and verse 17 of Matthew, where Jesus said this, he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill them. I preached a whole part of the message. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. The people looked at the Pharisees, thought they were the most religious people around. But the law and the prophets, all things, no? So I read through this and got really burdened in my heart. Well, who do I represent? As I walk through this world, I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Do others see Christ living in and of me? Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do I make rash judgments, unkind judgments? Do I, and am I hypocritical as I represent, as an ambassador of Christ, my Lord and Savior? Am I reminded I have a responsibility? I've been placed in trust with the gospel to share my faith with others? To be true to God's Word and to handle God's Word in my personal life carefully. And then he finishes, I'm just reminded how needful that is because I was just a sinner saved by grace, and that's all we are. Amen? Sinner saved by grace. How about you this morning? God has spoken to your heart. Why don't, as we finish out the service this morning with a hymn of invitation, why don't you just spend a few minutes and just talk to the Lord? I just ask you, when was the last time you shared your faith? God challenged me about it. How responsible are you being? And how often do we think, and how often are we just so thankful that Jesus loved us enough to save us? He lifted us up out of the muck and the mire. Just read in the book of Job. Job said, did anything clean come out of unclean? Job said, not one. No, I couldn't make myself clean. Only Jesus could. Father, we ask that you'd bless now the message, the invitation. I pray, Lord, that these truths would sink into our hearts. Oh, God, burden our hearts for people around us. Burden our hearts for a lost and dying world. Whether it's little boys or little girls or teenagers or moms and dads or our family members, Lord, we live in a world that's lost and dying and going to hell, and you desire for us to share our faith. Lord, we understand we can't save anyone in and of ourselves, but we can plant the seed, we can bring the word. So challenge us as we head out of this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
It's a time of invitation right now. Sometimes we come to church and we get built up, and sometimes we get stirred up or shaken up a little bit. I think the Lord led us today to just be shaken a little bit, to be challenged. Amy's playing this old hymn, familiar hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Would you pray right now? How will you receive the word this morning? Let's pray together. You pray quietly, then I'll lead us in prayer. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. Lord, we pray that you would capture our attention. We pray that Holy Spirit, this week we would listen to your still small voice. I pray that you'd use us to reach someone with the gospel, to stand strong for you. To show people the glory of Christ and His love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.